Good morning, and welcome everyone to Crédito Real's fourth quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 52 28 9753. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Again, that is www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, CEO, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. They will discuss some of the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the fourth quarter 2018. I would now like to turn this conference over to Mr. Romanos. You may begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. Once again, we are pleased to comment on our results for the last quarter of 2018. We were able to maintain the solid pace of our consolidated loan portfolio, allowing us to surpass the growth target set at our 2018 guidance, while maintaining sound profitability margins and a superior asset quality. Towards year-end, we attested the dissipation of most of the uncertainty surrounded in the year 2018, and saw a more favorable evolution in the Mexican market amid an all-time high consumer confidence, as well as further stability in inflation and foreign exchange rates that follows the closing of the USMCA agreement and prudent decisions taken on the 2019 federal budget. Here, I would like to emphasize that in the opinions to set a cap on bank fees commented in November 2018 finally materialize in any initiative of law, they would not have any material effect on our results, as we do not receive any fee or commission revenue from our operations, and we are not subject to any banking legislation either. Turning to our quarterly results, especially outstanding was the 25% annual growth recorded in our consolidated loan portfolio, reaching a new record high of 36.3 billion pesos. Parallelly, our non-performing loan ratio remained way below than the average of non-banking financial institutions, going down from 2.1%-1.7% in an annual basis. Additionally, we continued to post attractive growth rates in the bottom line. Net income increased by 29% and 18% for the fourth quarter and full year 2018 respectively. Over the last 12 months, net income was 1.95 billion pesos, well above the recorded figure posted in 2017. These numbers clearly reflect our revitalized focus on organic growth and an ongoing addition of high-quality assets, as we are being able to succeed in the enhancement of comprehensive origination standards. Breaking down the performance of our loan portfolio by business segment, Mexico's payroll continued to have a solid weight on the consolidated portfolio, recording a continuous incorporation of clients with solid credit profiles through the active participation of our distributors in marketing and product development initiatives. In this sense, we expect that the sizable unmet demand of financing services of this niche, coupled with the federal government programs oriented to promote financial inclusion and credit penetration among Mexican workers, will bring accretive opportunities, thus regaining momentum in this segment and presenting very good opportunities for Crédito Real. On used cars, Mexico loan origination remained firm this quarter, increasing 72% when compared to the same period last year. On the other hand, used cars USA loan origination amounted to 456 million pesos, up 64% against 2017, following the ongoing development of new operating synergies from the arising Crédito Real USA brand. Likewise, our small and medium-sized enterprise business continued keeping momentum, delivering an annual triple-digit growth rate. This growth follows the rapid and wide market acceptance of our new pure leasing product, attributed to the attractive conditions offered to our target market alongside effective promotion campaigns. Lastly, in Instacredit, the ongoing social and political unrest in Nicaragua was partially offset by the recovery trend started in Costa Rica. While we continued advancing to consolidate better operating grounds, drawing on an enhanced and flexible operation to emulate most of the processes capabilities that we have developed in Mexico. At this point, I want to reassure you that we are undertaking all necessary actions to mitigate the effects from the prevailing context in Nicaragua, while keep working on the preservation of our asset quality. Next in order, I would like to give broader color on the second issuance of 615 million pesos that we performed under our loan portfolio securitization program through the Bolsa Institucional de Valores. With this transaction, we did not only move forward in our strategy to diversify the company's funding sources, but we also reached an important milestone in the consolidation of our position as an active and renewed issuer in the non-bank financial institution sectors, becoming the first Mexican company to issue in debt on this new exchange. Meanwhile, on the international markets, we successfully issued $400 million of unsecured senior notes due 2026, clear proof of our market access. The demand for these securities recorded a 2.5 times oversubscription, reflecting the trust and appetite of the global investors on Crédito Real. Another development to discuss is about our stock buyback program, which is, as it was announced on last quarter, started to intensify its operation as we bought 5.1 million shares out of the $100 million approved for the share acquisition purposes were already used as of December 31, 2018. In this respect and in compliance with the resolutions adopted at our last shareholders meeting, we executed the cancellation of 12.5 million shares acquired towards our buyback program, representing 3.2% of the company's capital stock. For 2019, we expect to move forward with the cancellation of the repurchased stock to gradually align the company's market-to-market equity valuation, which we consider completely undervalued, to our operating fundamentals without implying any dilution effect for our shareholders. After commenting on these developments, I want to highlight the engagement of Roberto Garcia as our institutional relations officer, who has a clear mandate to set a solid channel of communication and coordination with the Mexican federal institutions, mostly with the Ministry of Finance, Secretaría de Hacienda, and Banking Watchdog, Comisión Nacional Bancaria, as we pursue to work hand-in-hand with the new government for the sake of financial inclusion. To conclude our 2018 outstanding performance, alongside with the significant potential foreseen in the underserved market of banking institutions in Mexico, encourage us to advance in the successful execution of our business model and product development endeavors. Therefore, we set a 20% target of growth for our consolidated loan portfolio and a double-digit growth in net income at our 2019 guidance. With this, I want to thank you again and leave you with Carlos Ochoa for a more in-depth explanation of the numbers.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all for being part of this quarterly conference call. During the fourth quarter of 2018, interest income was 2.7 billion pesos, up 14.3% when compared to that recorded as of last quarter of 2017. Meanwhile, total interest income as of December 31st amounted 10.2 billion pesos, 20.5% higher than that of 2017. This performance was primarily driven by the consistent growth in the consolidated loan portfolio throughout the year. Interest expense for the fourth quarter was 692 million pesos, a 9.7% decrease in an annual basis, as we recognize the interest of our perpetual notes as equity when the semi-annual coupon is paid, thus generating a 207 million pesos benefit in the interest expense line, as stated by the IFRS. Interest expense for the full year, 2018, amounted 3.1 million pesos, respectively, a 16% annual increase, which is mainly attributed to the upward adjustment in the Mexican reference rate and growth recorded in our consolidated loan portfolio. The financial margin totaled 2 billion pesos over the quarter, an annual increase of 25.5%. For the whole year, 2018, it reached 7.1 billion pesos, expanded by 22.7% or 1.3 billion pesos when compared to the 5.8 billion pesos recorded in 2017. Allowances for loan losses reached 452 billion pesos during the fourth quarter of 2018, 15.6% higher than the figure recorded in the same period last year. Furthermore, the cost of risk stood steady at 5% for the 4Q18 and for the full year of 2018. On the other hand, administrative expenses for the quarter and for the whole year totaled 779 million pesos and 3.5 billion pesos respectively, recording an annual decrease of 22% and 1.29% increase respectively, mainly derived from the decrease in administrative expenses in Central America and the United States, which offset the increases in Mexico's expenses that went up in line with our larger volume of operations. Net income increased almost 30% year over year during the fourth quarter of 2018, reaching 568 million pesos, boosted by a larger portfolio. Accumulated net income as of December 31st totaled 2 billion pesos, increasing 17.7% versus 1.7 billion pesos registered in 2017, also driven by portfolio growth. Turning to our key financial ratios, at the year end, net interest margin stood at 22.9% from 23.4% in 2017. Return on average equity was 14.6%, 10 basis points above than that recorded on the end of the fourth quarter of 2017. However, when excluding the perpetual notes, return on average equity at quarter end was 20%, 240 basis points higher than that recorded in the same period last year. Return on average assets is stood at 4.7% compared to the 4.5% recorded in the fourth quarter last year. The capitalization ratio decreased from 50.9% at the end of 2017 to 43.5% as of December 31st, 2018. The funding cost expanded by 30 basis points from 11.7% at year-end 2017 to 12% as of December 31st, 2018. Reflecting the environment of rising interest rates that prevail in the domestic and international markets, which we strive to partially offset towards our funding sources as a diversification strategy. Regarding our consolidated loan portfolio, it increased by 25.2% as of quarter end, reaching 36.3 billion pesos as we continue to tap into the vibrant performance of our Mexico's payroll segment, while at the same time, we were able to achieve outstanding growth in the used car business in Mexico and the SMEs this quarter. The payroll portfolio totaled almost 25 billion pesos, increasing 28.5% in an annual basis, fueled by the operations of our three main distributors, Condinero, Crédito Maestro, and Publisec. Meanwhile, the SMEs portfolio increased by 110% in an annual basis, amounting to 3.7 billion pesos. This strong growth is largely attributed to the commercial success of our leasing product, which in turn led to a greater participation of these segments in the consolidated loan portfolio, from 6% in 2017 to 10.1% as of December 31st, 2018. As for the used car portfolio, it totaled 2.9 billion pesos, registering an annual growth of 8.6%, largely supported by the operations in Mexico, while in the United States we continue progressing in the enhancement of our business structure through the consolidation of Crédito Real USA brand. Separately, Instacredit portfolio registered an annual decrease of 3.3%, reaching 4.5 billion pesos, impacted by the situation in Nicaragua, which was partially offset by the recovery in Costa Rica. Lastly, our consolidated non-performing loan ratio maintained its downward trend, decreasing 40% basis from the 2.1% at the fourth quarter 2017 to 1.7% this quarter. In consistency with our solid origination standards, cutting-edge collection procedures, and a strong focus on pensioners in the Mexico payroll segment. As of December 31st, total assets increased 17.3% in an annual basis, amounting 49.6 billion pesos, mainly explained by a larger consolidated loan portfolio and resources raised from debt placements conducted over the year. The company's outstanding debt as of the end of the year end totaled 30.6 billion pesos, 29.9% higher than the 23.6 billion pesos recorded in 2017, mainly reflecting the Swiss bond placement of the first quarter and the second issuance under our loan portfolio securitization over the fourth quarter. Finally, stockholders' equity reached 15.8 billion pesos in the fourth quarter 2018, representing a 7% annual increase. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question will come from Carlos Rivera, Barclays.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding all the accounting changes, so I just want to make sure I understood correctly. So basically for the fee income, you are adjusting in this quarter for a full year, and for the interest expense, you're adjusting retroactively for half of the year and reflecting on the fourth quarter the correct number under the new methodology. So basically this quarter has a lot of distortions, and the prior quarters are not a good base either, but the full year 2018 figures are a good way to project. Do you agree with these? And as a result of the changes, we should expect a lower cost to income, lower fee income, but higher NII and NIM. Is this interpretation correct? And I'll ask my second question after.
Yeah, I mean, the only changes that we made for this quarter was the rate classifications of the interest paid for the perpetual bond during the first half of the year. On the other half, as for the second half, it was already recognized during the second half of the year, so there's not going to be an effect for that one. As for the income, yes, you are right, because, you know, the auditors requested us to change the commissions charged only in Instacredit, which are the only place in which we charge in commissions, and basically that was the other change that we made, and basically that's what explains the deduction in the commissions charged during the quarter compared to the last year's, and yes, there's a positive effect on over the total income, if you want to see it that way.
Okay, so for projection, the best way to look at this would be just to look at the full year 2018 numbers. You are not going to provide pro forma prior quarter figures.
No, this one is going to be the only changes that are going to be affected are those that we are disclosing this quarter.
Okay, thanks. And my second question is regarding the SME business. This quarter was the one where you had the most originations. So if you could comment a little bit about what are the opportunities that you see there, what are the risks, and understand a little bit the rationale of growing faster there over payroll loans in Mexico, which are pretty attractive. I mean, if only from the interest rate perspective, it would seem that payroll is very attractive, and also with lower NPL. So any color on the decision to grow faster there, what percentage of a portfolio you might want to achieve in SMEs, that would be great. Thank you.
Hi, Carlos. We expect to keep growing on the SME business, mainly through our leasing programs. We've been very successful with it for the last two quarters. We're growing very fast and with a very good portfolio performance. So we expect that to keep growing at a double-digit rate this year. And we expect to originate around 3,000 million pesos for the year from 1.8 billion that we originated this year. So that's almost an 80% increase. And we expect that to start becoming a more important part of the whole portfolio as the amounts lended in this program are much larger than the payroll business loans.
You know, Carlos, there's also another thing important to mention on that one. If you look at the weight that the SMEs product has had in the past within as a percentage of the book, at some point it reached the 10% or something. So basically what I'm saying is that this is a product that we know. I mean, our origination standards continue to be those that we used in the past. I mean, and basically there's an enormous opportunity, and that's what we are trying to grow on for these years and the next and the years to come.
Okay. If you compare the profitability, let's say ROA or ROE of both products, what would those metrics look like? I mean, I see the argument for volume growth on SMEs, but on profitability is not so clear to me.
It's been a profitable business for us with ROAs around 4.5%, which is in line with the whole company. And as Carlos just mentioned, the opportunity is very large, mainly with the government pushing for financial inclusion of SMEs. And we are trying to find a space there to be part of this growth and inclusion, working together with the authorities in Mexico and with the government banks that don't have the infrastructure to go to the end consumer, and they can use us to do that. But it's a profitable product, and we expect it to remain that way.
And probably to add on that one as well is that it's also worth mentioning that there are no risks of interest rate caps on that product. So if you think in those terms, I mean, one of the concerns that we listened frequently in not only here in Mexico, but outside mostly, is the risk of interest rate caps, especially for the payroll business. So having this product, which wouldn't be subject to interest rate caps on one hand, and on the other hand, with a much shorter tenure, and finally something that you can reprice easily, that definitely helps us, you know, in terms of the profitability for the business. That's how we are seeing it.
Okay, understood. Thanks a lot for the answer.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from John Hanna, Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, Angel and Carlos. Thank you again for the call. I wanted to kind of touch base about the origination and the payroll segment. Just maybe could you give some – I noticed that on the summary of your operations table, your origination on the payroll segment kind of went down year over year, and when you look at it on a sequential quarter, it's down as well. And I just wanted to get a little more color there as to what's going on.
Yeah, basically, I mean, the thing about the last quarter is that you have the Christmas break. So, you know, there's a seasonality in that regard. I mean, with all the features and basically all the, you know, all our favorite customers that are not on the, you know, who are not pensioners. So that doesn't help you much in terms of the origination. And also, it's also worth mentioning that if you look at the growth rates, I mean, we're coming from a growth rate in the payroll business from 38%. So there's a decline in the, there's a decline also in the origination. So that could be the explanation in both cases.
Okay. And do you have any thoughts on, you know, with the new administration and some thoughts on what the potential outlook there, do you expect any changes on the outlook there of origination for the, for 2019, or do you expect any sort of regulatory, you know, any sort of regulatory changes?
Well, as the president mentioned on the last time he talked about regulation and the financial institutions, he mentioned that there won't be any changes either in regulation or interest rates for the first 3 years of his government. So we feel confident that at least these 3 years we won't see any significant changes in the way we operate or the Mexican market is regulated.
Okay. Thank you, Angel. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question will come from Marcelo Hurst, Invest.
Yes, hi. Congratulations on the results. Your loan portfolio has gravitated more towards Mexico, despite the fact that you have the goal of having a 50% of 50% of the portfolio in Mexico and 50% outside of Mexico. My question is that strategy still in place, particularly given the rapid growth that you're having in Mexico?
Yes, that strategy is still in place, and we're concentrating a lot of our efforts on dollarized economies, which will become a natural hedge for our funding outside of Mexico. So every day it becomes more important for us to grow outside of Mexico, and especially on the U.S. or places like Panama with dollarized economies. But that strategy is still in place, and we're very careful following it.
Another question that I have is if you maybe can describe more specifically the opportunities that may come with the AMLO's administration objective of, you know, increasing financial inclusion and credit penetration. Are you seeing more opportunities to increase the loan portfolio on the payroll side, or maybe are you seeing opportunities in creating new products? I know you spoke about the SMEs. Are there any other potential credit products that you know, you think might be an opportunity coming up for Crédito Real?
Yeah, the biggest opportunity we see is that development banks in Mexico will fight for financial inclusion, and they don't have the infrastructure to go to the end consumer. So they will use companies like Crédito Real to get the money to the lower side of the population and to the underserved market. So we really don't see any new products, but it'll be on SMEs, payroll, on all of our products, and we'll be working hand-in-hand with development banks in Mexico to be able to penetrate more on the market. But there's a huge opportunity for us in that sense.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Gilberto Garcia, Barclays.
Thank you for the call. Given that the share of the payroll portfolio that comes from pensioners continues to grow, is it fair to assume that the yield might continue to slide downwards this year?
Look, I mean, in that sense, it could be the case, and actually that could be partially the explanation for the decrease in the yield this quarter. However, I would say that that's not the only explanation for that one. And in order to mitigate the decrease or the negative effect or the concentration in the pay of the pensioners in the payroll, we could, and that's actually what we are going to do, we are going to enhance the origination in Central America, which are our products with the largest yields. So basically, the explanation for the lower yields are the combination of, one, the decrease of the weight of the Instacredit products, and on the secondly, the concentration with the pensioners. However, I mean, it's also worth mentioning that if you look at the trend of the NPLs trend, they continue to decline quarter to quarter, and that's also helped by the pensioners. So there are, I think, everything, and there are, you know, positives and a negative of that one, but we believe that the yields in the future can continue the same trends that we observed in the 2018.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gilberto.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Ernesto Gabilondo, Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Angel and Carlos, and thanks for the opportunity, and congrats on your results. I think they were great results, even taking out the non-recurring effects of the quarter. So three follow-up questions from my side. The first one is on your cost of funding. So I believe it stood at 12% in fourth quarter. So is it reasonable to expect an increase of around 50 basis points by recognizing the issuance of the recent notes and that you are prepaying former notes that were issued at a lower cost? And then on my second question is on your non-credit related revenues. So we saw higher commissions paid for these recent debt issuances, and we saw a trading loss due to hedging derivatives. So I believe those were some one-off that happened in the quarter but should be normalizing this year. So do you continue to see net income around 100, 120 million per quarter and positive other income? And finally, my last question is related to the competition. We have seen the new government with Banco del Bienestar looking to offer microcredit loans, tandas, charging no interest rate, while the increased presence of private banks moving to the sector through social programs and digital channels. So how do you feel about this increased competition in the sector, and how do you see the level of your interest rates if we see the government or private banks offering lower interest rates? Thank you.
Hi, Ernesto. Let me address your last question first, I mean, regarding the competition. I mean, yes, what is worth mentioning is that we've been in this business and we know these segments of the population, the low-income segments. We know what they value, and basically what they value is service. I mean, and we are in a very good position to provide them with this service, you know, given that we have the largest sales force all over the country and something like that. But that doesn't come overnight. I mean, it has taken us over 20 years to build up this, you know, this structure. And it's not going to come so easily for the new administration, for the Banco del Bienestar. That's not going to come over easily for them to build up, you know, all these capacities. On the other hand, if you think about the potential market, I mean, for example, they recently disclosed with Banco del Bienestar, they say they are going to grant, I think it's a million loans. They are going to disburse a million loans, no-bearing interest loans. But I would say that's only, you know, let's leave aside the headline part of the story. If you think about the population, you know, the total market, 1 million is not going to help them much. And on the other hand, if there's something that we've learned over the years in terms of the, you know, micro-lending, is that in order for them to reach a much larger, you know, scope of customers, a much larger universe, they have to be sustainable, and that's not something that you can do, you know, with no-bearing interest loans. So in that sense, I mean, we acknowledge that there's going to be a competition, but it's going to take, it's going to take a few years, in order to see that. And I think that we're very well positioned in order to cope with this new competition. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, yes, thank you. And how about private banks also moving into the sector with the social programs, with digital channels? I believe your interest rate is around 50%, 50, which I think is not so high if you compare it to other micro lenders at around 80, 90%, or even to a payroll loan from a bank, which could be around 35%. So how do you feel? How do you feel about your interest rate, and if you have this pressure coming from competition, if you will be able to be lowering your rate?
Yeah, I mean, two things about that one. I mean, first, in this segment, you don't compete with interest rates. I mean, you don't compete with interest rates. The way to compete in this segment is with service. So if you can recall about the Banserfi program a few years back, I mean, and if you think about the results they got with a much lower interest rate than ours, I mean, the result was, not as they expected. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, something which is very important to mention is if you look at the growth rate that this business has experienced, that Crédito Real has experienced over the past years, it's about 30% for the past 8 years. We've been growing consistently. We've been growing consistently 30% or something like that. Those customers, a lot of those customers, we took them from the banks. So meaning they've been trying to access our market for many years now, and we have a solid position based upon our competitive strengths, and I think that we can continue to explore those ones in the future. And finally, I mean, we are excited about this situation, about the new situation in the country, because struggling for financial inclusion definitely is going to open new opportunities for our business, as long as there's people outside, willing to pay interest rates in order to improve their life standards, I think that that's the opportunity that we are seeing right now.
Perfect, Carlos. And what about the first two questions?
I forgot the second one. I answered the first one, the cost of funds, and you can recall me the second one. When it comes to the cost of funds, yes, probably that's going to be an increase. I mean, it's going to be an increase. Probably we are estimating something in the range that you mentioned, probably 50 more basis or something like that. But two things about this one. First one, our main source of funds is the collection itself. So basically, something to bear in mind, which is very important, is that we can grow the book. We can grow the book, probably not for 25%, but we could be growing the book, probably something around 8-10%, only with the collections that we generate. Secondly, I mean, if you think about what we passed over the four last years, I mean, we've seen, an unprecedented increase in the cost of funds. So basically what I'm trying to describe to you is that we believe that we are, in a good position to continue to cope with interest rates standard as long as we continue, to make improvements in the efficiency, cutting expenses and everything, and as long as we continue, to make improvements in our most profitable businesses as the Costa Rican one or as our business in the States, and that could definitely help us to cope with the cost of funds. But yes, probably at the end of the year, it's going to be something around 12.5 or something like that.
Perfect. Thank you, Carlos. So just on my second question was related on your non-credit related revenues. So we saw these higher commissions paid for the recent debt issuances, and we saw the trading loss due to hedging derivatives in other income. I believe those were one-offs that happened in the quarter, but I think they should be normalizing this year. So
right.
I remember you were like guiding fee income between 100 and 120 million pesos per quarter, and it's difficult to forecast the other income, but at least I think it could be positive. Do you agree?
Yes, I mean, definitely you have two main sources of other income, other than interest expenses. So basically, on the one hand, you have the commissions charged, that those were mostly Intacredit commissions and the Resuelve business. And that's the reclassifications that we saw for the fourth quarter. But normally for that line, we expect the Resuelve business, you know, to generate something around 150 million per quarter. That's normally how that should stand, 140, 150 million per quarter. And the other important element is the other income from operations line, which are mostly, you know, late charges or collection from charge-off accounts. I think we feel comfortable if that one amounts around 100 and 120 million. Hard to predict again, you know, because as you might know, you know, late charges are, you know, basically it's an expectation of that collection. That's not something, that's the first thing that you negotiate. And on the other hand, you know, the collection from the charge of accounts comes mostly from Intacredit and from the businesses in the States. So yeah, it would be fair to state that, you know, 100, 120 million per quarter for that line, yeah, we would be feeling comfortable.
Very helpful. Thank you very much, Carlos.
Thank you, Marco.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Natalia Corfield, JP Morgan.
Hey, good morning, all. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is with regards to the adjustment that you made in commissions and fees. Is it possible to specify how much exactly impacted 4Q? Because I am in doubt. I am in doubt about the number that you have in the press release. But that's my first question.
That amounted for 142 million pesos.
This refers to the accumulated number for Instacredit.
That is correct. For the whole year, accumulated commissions collected in that business for the whole year.
And what happens to the 142.8 that's related to Resolve?
Yeah, you know, they offset. You know, given that we reclassify 142. This quarter for the, you know, Resuelve collected 143. So that amount, you know, the difference that you see for the quarter is the net of those.
Okay. All right. And also, you mentioned SMEs that they have shorter tenor. Can you specify exactly what's the tenor of the SME business?
We have two kinds of products for the SMEs. The one that we've been doing in the past, you know, which was mostly for working capital. Normally, the average, you know, the duration for those loans, you know, ranges for probably from, I don't know, 6 months on the average, the duration of those loans, you know, because they are for working capital purposes. And then you have the other line, which are for what Ankel was mentioning, you know, earlier, which is the leasing business, which is growing steadily over the last couple of quarters, and that the duration over there can be 36 or something like that on the average, 36 months.
Okay. Do you have this split, like how much is the 36 months and how much is the 6 months one?
I will ask Renata to provide you with that information offline.
All right. And lastly, collections in 2018, can you provide a number for us? And if you also have some estimate relative to 2019, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'll ask Renata to contact you with that one as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Our next question will come from Nick Dimitros, Morgan Stanley Investment Management.
Hi there. Thank you for the call. I have two short questions. So the first one is going to be on your 2019 outlook. You already mentioned that loan growth is going to be around 20% and there's going to be double-digit net income growth. but if you can give us some color in terms of your outlook about asset quality and cost of risk, as well as funding, not so much in terms of cost of funding, but, you know, your plans about funding in 2019. You obviously already did a senior unsecured bond early in the year. So that's going to be my first question.
Yeah, in terms of the cost of risk, we would expect to stay, you know, as steady as it is. If you look at the figures that we saw during 2018, normally that ranges from the 5.2 to the 5%. I would say that it's going to be around the 5%. You know, the most difficult part when it comes to the NPLs as a whole, were with the Nicaragua situation, but the thing is that our exposure there is less than $25 million as of today. And on the other hand, if you look at the growth rates that we've been experiencing within the whole book, yes, I could fairly state that, you know, the cost of risk should stay steady around the 5%, and net of the other income from operation is going to be probably around the 4.5%.
Got it. Okay. Okay. And then my question is going to be, is it possible to give us the amount of intangibles and goodwill as well?
Yeah, we'll have to get just over.
Yeah, it's 4.2 billion. That's basically roughly, and that's, you can see that one. If you go to the, you know, to the balance sheet, we have that one on the debt insurance cost intangibles and others that amount for 4.8 billion. And as for that, you know, 4.2 billion are mostly for the intangibles and goodwill.
Intangibles and goodwill. Okay, excellent. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Rodrigo Ortega, BBVA.
Hi, good morning, Carlos Angel. Thank you for taking our questions. Just a quick one regarding your efficiency outlook for next year. On previous calls, you have mentioned a pace of OPEX of around $800 to $850 million per quarter. Should this be your assumption going forward, or the lower expenses seen this quarter should be considered the new normal?
I would say that, you know, once that you offset the non-recurrent that we see in the total, in the net income, those 147 million, I would say that the efficiency, if you want to look at in terms of efficiency rate, is going to be around the 42 to 45%. Mostly, probably, we feel comfortable with the 45% range.
Right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Thank you very much. With no final questions in the queue, the question answer session has concluded. Thank you all for being in today's conference call, and you may now disconnect.